Welcome to the Grace Chapel podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We're so glad you're here. Before we get started, we want to remind you of the importance of being connected into a local church body. Podcasts are a gift from God, but are meant to be supplemental and not substitute or replace the gathering of the saints in worship in the Word. With that being said, we pray that this teaching would bless you, equip you, and encourage you in your walk with Christ.
All right. Well, we have a wonderful privilege this morning. We started a new series last week in 1 John. We covered the first few verses, and now Crystal is going to come bring the word this morning. Zach's already returned my. I know it's just doing its weird thing, but come on up, Crystal. We are so excited to hear what the Lord has laid on Crystal's heart for all of us this morning. Love you, my friend.
Love you.
Crystal's just like my sis, known each other for a long time, and just, I say some version of this every time, but it's because it's real and I mean it. Crystal loves Jesus, she loves being in his word, and I'm grateful that she is going to pour out what God has poured into her heart this morning. So I'm excited to receive the word this morning, and so let's pray for our friend, and let's pray for ourselves that we would hear and receive all that the Lord has. And so, Lord, thank you for the gift of your precious word. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you for Crystal and her time as she has spent time with you and in your word and in your presence. And Lord, now we just pray that that would just be able to flow through her this morning. Lord, that just the things you have deposited would come forth.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for her. Thank you for your spirit and your presence over her and in her this morning. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, God, that we would have ears to hear this. God, that our hearts would just be really, that word soft just keeps coming up, soft, tender, ready to receive, Lord, good soil where this truth could take root and grow and produce life. Mm. And so, God, may we receive what you have for us this morning. Mm. Thank you for this letter. Thank you for what you poured into John and what he wrote inspired by you. And, Lord, thank you that it is alive and real today as it was 2,000 years ago when you made this deposit in his heart. And so we receive this from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you. Love you too. God's so good. It's even just kind of striking the things that was happening in the room. Songs that we didn't even talk about songs. I knew I was teaching and just told you, be prayerful, and you were as you always are, but like even thematically, the things that we sang, the things that were prayed. God's so good. So Jake started us off last week, 1 John chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 5. And this morning I'm going to take us through verses 6 through 10. I'm going to back up. I'm going to start with verse 5, kind of ramp us in. So here we go, 1 John 1, 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Thank you, God. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God is light. In him is no darkness. I mean, I love what Mark was praying earlier. Isn't it true? There's really no war here where darkness is ever overcoming the light. Praise God. Anytime light is shown in the darkness must scatter. This word light, this is a Greek word called phos. And the first time that it shows up in the New Testament is actually in Matthew's gospel in chapter 4, verse 16. And it's him actually referring back to Isaiah's prophecy. It's one that we say every Christmas. We said it this past Christmas, and it's such good hope. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. I mean, isn't that fitting? We know this world is dark, and there's an enemy who is out for us. And yet, Jesus is the light of the world. It's the same word, this word phos. It's what shows up in John chapter 8, verse 12, in one of the I am statements where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Thank you, Jesus. I think we have an inherent desire for light. Even at the earliest age, I was thinking about, we have four kids. And when they all were toddlers, probably around the age of two, starting to kind of get a sense of the world around them, none of them wanted to sleep in a pitch black room. There was this thing where it's like, I want a nightlight. I want at least the moon shining through the window. And I feel that way as, you know, a woman in her mid-30s. I want a little bit of light. I want to be able to see my hand in front of my face and make sense of the room. And I think part of that is probably because we were made in the image of God, who is light. Jake said last week something I thought was so good, that the light that we see, whether it be these fluorescent lights above us or the sun outside, those are actually, you know, an analogy for who God is. It's not the other way around. And not only were we made in the image of light, but we were made for fellowship. You know, John said, if we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we have fellowship with light. And when I think about fellowship, I always think about Jesus's prayer for us in the garden. In John 17, let's read verses 20 through 23. I do not ask for these only, speaking of the disciples that were with him in that time, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, speaking of us, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and you loved them even as you loved me. Wow. We have been invited into this intimate fellowship with light himself. And Jesus did what he saw the Father doing, and he said the things that he heard the Father saying. And you know, if we've been invited to participate in this oneness with light, well then our lives ought to radiate that light, right? The glory of the Lord should shine through our lives. I want to look at Ephesians 5. We're going to read verses 8 through 16. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. For what makes everything visible is light. And therefore it is said, get up, sleeper. Rise up from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making most of the time because the days are evil. Pay attention to how we walk. It's important. You know, it's our Christian journey. It truly is a walk. It's not this stagnant sitting. It's a journey. It's a daily walking it out. It's that fellowship. Where you go, Lord, I want to go. And it's not an arrival. We know that when we pray the sinner's prayer, we don't automatically, oh, I don't sin anymore. it's that interesting mystery of we are positionally sanctified, praise God. Father God sees us through the blood of Jesus. We are holy. We receive the imputed righteousness of Christ. But we are learning to put on that new man, right? We're learning to receive the new nature, to walk it out. And you know, if he is light and his nature is light, I even think that light really, it's even a picture of his holiness and his purity. I have to ask, am I becoming, if I'm walking with him, if I'm fellowshipping with him, am I becoming more and more like him? Pay attention to how you walk. Am I desiring the things that he desires? Am I longing for his presence and the light of his radiant face? You know, there's I think it's a proverb that says, bad company corrupts good character. You know, we are a product of our environment, the things that we choose to set our face to and spend time in. And the opposite is true. If bad company corrupts good character, I mean, good company, the company of light, it transforms that wickedness that is within me, the flesh, it transforms. And I started to think about, man, the beginning of this book is quite sobering. In the first 5 verses, we get greetings. We've seen Jesus. We've touched him. He is light. And then John kind of cuts to the quick and says, all right, if you're saying that you have fellowship with him, but you walk in darkness, then you're lying. You're deceiving yourself. And if you say you have no sin, then you're making God to be a liar because he has said that all have fallen short. And I started to think about, I think this is on purpose. I think that John is making a statement here saying, there's a lot to talk about here. But in order for you to receive and be changed by any of it, you first have to stop and consider your steps, consider your path, consider the posture of your heart. You know what's amazing, though? In Christ, there is no condemnation. So as we go into this and begin by considering our paths, considering that posture of our hearts, I want you to remember that John had said confession. Let's look at this, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is part of walking in the light. Kind of like this GPS reorienting us back to true north. Yeah. Hebrews 4:13-16. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There's no hiding in his presence. And actually that word phos, it actually means to make manifest. It exposes. Verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are and yet without sin. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So I just want to encourage you as we sit, as we take stock, as we consider our ways, don't run and hide in shame. It is his pleasure. It's his delight to bring these things to the surface, not to shame us, not to condemn us, but to provide freedom. Because in the light, there is freedom. I was thinking about, anytime I think about considering our hearts, the Lord really spoke to me a lot 5 years ago when Alex and I decided to redo our kitchen. And we stripped everything down. I mean, we pulled up floors, all the cabinets are gone. And the Lord was reminding me of the sweetness of that renovation of the heart, that there's nothing that gets exposed when you pull away the linoleum. I'm even thinking about the renovation at the Grace House. He's not surprised when the linoleum gets pulled away and the vanity is taken away. It's like, water damage. Great. What a good investment. There's nothing that surprises him. And actually, what's really cool is that the Lord moves in to the renovation before any work has begun. When we say yes to Jesus, he moves right in. And he begins this work, but we're active participants. My dad's always said that God is a gentleman. He doesn't force his way into rooms and areas that we have closed off. But he stands at the door and knocks. He says, do you want to let me in? Do you want to give that to me yet? There was, after we renovated our kitchen, that summer, just a few months later, I mean, so enjoying this. It was beautiful. It was clean. It just was new. It felt wonderful. But that summer, there were gnats coming in droves. And it was horrendous. I felt insane because I was setting out bowls of apple cider vinegar and Dawn dish soap and hot water everywhere. In the kitchen. Just in the kitchen. And I would wake up every morning and there'd be like, it felt like hundreds of them in each bowl. And yet there was still hundreds of them flying around in the air. And it's driving me nuts. And I stop and kind of start thinking through, like, where are these coming from? And it dawned on me that the garage is off of the kitchen. And we did not renovate the garage. So I went and I started poking around, and I will spare you what I found. I cannot tell you. Oh, man. Guilt and shame. For real. I will spare you. And after much dry heaving, I bagged it up and threw it out, and the gnats were gone. But I feel like sin is like that. Even in that place, we could be walking with the Lord for years, and much of our hearts are renovated and yielded to him. But you know, for as long as we walk this earth, we don't step into that full, complete release from the wrestle of sin until glory. And there's still little things that can come up, and are we paying attention to, where are those gnats coming from? What is the root cause of that? And when we come to the Lord, we can ask, God, will you make manifest to me, where is that? Why do I react that way? Why do I get angry at the drop of the hat, Lord? Will you reveal that to me? And he exposes those darkened areas, those shadow areas, out of a deep love for us. Again, it's for our freedom. But what is my response when light exposes those dark areas? I hope my response is, like David, Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, show me where this is getting in. What is this stemming from, Lord? What do I need to surrender to you? What do I need to give you access to? What do I need to allow you to shine your light on that I may yield it and surrender it to you? See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Does my sin bother me? Am I grieved by it? Am I grieved by what grieves the heart of God? Or do I make excuses for it? Do I even acknowledge it? Do I call what is evil good? Say, it's not a big deal. Do I keep, you know, it's what John is saying here. If we say we have fellowship with him, that's light, while we walk in darkness, while we cling to our vices, while we make excuses for our shortcomings. Oh, that's just how I am. Let it roll off. It's just how I am. We lie and don't practice the truth. There's no darkness in him. God, I want to be yielded fully to you. Are we going to walk that walk with him? Are we going to truly walk in the light as he is in the light? Are we just going to talk about it? Living that a double life, saying to our friends at church, yeah, I'm good, praise God. And then going home and doing things in secret that grieve the heart of God. Listen, and not all sin is this, you know, grotesque thing. Yes, if there's those things in our lives, we need to come and run to the feet of Jesus, to his throne of grace, and find that help, find that mercy in our time of need. But also it could be things, like I said, I can get angry sometimes at the drop of a hat. It's not good. It's not righteous. It's not light. God, sanctify me. I think about Psalm 51. And this psalm is, it comes from when David, after he has not walked in the light, had slept with Bathsheba. You know, he wasn't supposed to be at home. He was supposed to be off to war with his people. But he stayed behind, and he finds her bathing on the rooftop. And he sleeps with her. He tries to cover it up, right? Initially bringing Uriah, oh, come and be with your wife. Uriah was loyal to his people, and he longed to be back out with his men. And so David took things into his own hands, and he kills Uriah. Makes it look like, well, then now I can take her as my wife and nobody will know. This is a man after God's own heart. And Nathan, the prophet Nathan, comes to him and brings him that, I guess, parable, maybe you would say. And, you know, David is all, who would do such a thing, taking that man's sheep, his beloved sheep, and then killing? What are you talking about? He says, you're the man. And he's confronted with his sin. It breaks his heart. He is a man after God's own heart. And this psalm is birthed from that. Psalm 51, let's read 10 through 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. You know, walking in the light isn't just about our fellowship with God, but our fellowship with one another. John says, let's see, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. David's confronted with his sin. His heart breaks. He comes to that throne of grace, creating me a clean heart. And then restore to me that joy of your salvation. And I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. We can come before one another, confessing our sins to each other and also saying, hey, look what God's done. If he's done this with me, if he's rescued me out of this deep darkness, he can do it for you. We can encourage each other, that fellowship. I mean, this morning was such a picture of the fellowship of light, praying over one another, you know, being able to join Jonathan in praying over their beloved friends. Guys, this world is dark, and we get to walk arm in arm with people drawing each other to the feet of Christ. What a gift. I don't want to know what it's like to walk through this dark world without him. Without y'all. Fellowship with the saints is a gift. Light rescues and redeems and shows a way out, and it gives us a testimony to share with others. God didn't leave me in darkness. He rescued me out. He rescued me from the kingdom of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. And he can do that for you. Walking in the light is also being on mission with Jesus. He's the light of the world. He's coming to a world that is breaking under the weight of this darkness, this present darkness. And he deposits that light, his Holy Spirit within us. And we get to carry that into the broken world and say, I know the one who rescues and redeems. I know the one who will never leave you, never forsake you. Look at this. Isaiah 42, we're going to read 5-7. Thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. There is a mantle on us as believers to walk in that. The light of the world has come. We say yes to Jesus, and he comes and he resides within us, that we would be his hands and feet. Is this not, this was his mission, coming into the world, to be able to lift our heads, to give us hope, to restore us back to the Father? Are we not to be considering our paths and walking with him, in fellowship with him, on mission with him, pointing people to Christ, pointing people to that hope? This may sound silly. We created several years ago a family holiday. It's on the summer solstice, so the longest day of the year, when the sun is out the longest. And we call it the Festival of Lights. And we make a big meal together as a family, and we are sometimes those annoying neighbors who are shooting off fireworks before the 4th of July. And not always, but, you know. But my favorite part is that we sit together in the end of the evening, and we turn off all the lights, and we light a candle. And we start by talking about Jesus is the light of the world. And then we read this, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world, us. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We just talk about as a family. Light has come into darkness. And then what a gift when we say yes to Christ. We light these other candles. We'll light these tea candles. There's one specific kind of lantern that we put in, and it's kind of representative of that light has come into your heart. And now the Lord seeks to carry you into those dark places, pointing people to the hope that has come into the world. And you know, then we sing this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And I think Silas was like two. Our youngest was two when we first started this. And he just loved singing, hide it under a bushel. No! I think he just liked to say, scream no. But truly it says, you don't light a lamp and then hide it. Like that's just as fruitless. I was thinking about like when our kids were younger and the power would go out in one of those big summer storms. And the kids, I mean, they'd be in the middle of a deep sleep. And somehow the power goes out at 2 a.m. and they know instantly. And they come screaming and hollering and like, ah! So we light candles. How fruitless would it be for me to light a candle and put it in the closet? That's not helpful. We are to put it on a table, on a stand, make it to where all who are in the room can see and be comforted by that. I didn't light that candle within you. I didn't give you my light. I have not become one with you in order for you to closet that away. May my light radiate from you. I've given you a story. I've given you a testimony. He's ever giving us testimony, right? You know what else is cool about light? It's healing. You know, there's people who use different kinds of light to heal different skin conditions. And then I'm sitting this week and I'm looking, I felt like the Holy Spirit kept saying light therapy. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I feel like I had heard it, but it kept persistently saying light therapy. And I look it up and I read from this doctor, light may stimulate the parts of the brain that control mood, appetite, and sleep, which can contribute to how a person feels. And I stop and think about myself in the middle of winter and say, yeah, no kidding. These days are short. I need some light. My heart is sad. Actually, SAD is the acronym for this. Seasonal affective disorder. SAD. And so I start reading about SAD and how light therapy is being used for this. Some people with SAD, I has the SAD. Some people with SAD find that light therapy can help improve their mood considerably. This involves sitting by a special lamp called a light box, usually for about 30 minutes to an hour each morning. Light boxes come in a variety of designs, including desk lamps and wall-mounted fixtures. They produce a very bright light. The intensity of the light is measured in lux. The higher the lux, the brighter the light. The light produced by the light box stimulates the sunlight that's missing during the darker winter months. It's thought the light may improve SAD by encouraging your brain to reduce the production of melatonin, a hormone that makes you sleepy, and increase the production of serotonin, a hormone that affects your mood, the happy hormone. I just was like, yeah, Lord, light isn't just healing for our brains, it's healing for our souls. Looking at Christ and turning our faces toward him, spending time in the fellowship of other saints who are walking in the light, God, it does something deep within us, and that's on purpose because we were made in the image of light. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Your eyes are, this is how the message said it. I thought this was so great. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. Dang, it's a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. Close your eyes. Don't close your eyes to the light of his radiant face, because it's exactly what you need. It's exactly what we all need. But here's the deal. Remember, he said, we're evaluating our path. In Ephesians, we are considering our steps. No matter how much we hate it, our human tendency is to drift away from Christ. It's to drift towards darkness. That's what the flesh does. It drifts towards grumbling and negativity and self-loathing. And so there's a continual diligence that we must keep. We must keep our gaze fixed on him who is light. We don't drift towards Christ. And what holds our gaze determines our steps. I was thinking about when my dad was teaching me to drive, and he would tell me, where you're looking is where the car is going to go, right? Don't look over here, you're going to drift this way. Don't look over here, you're going to drift this way. Keep your eyes fixed straight ahead, on the road ahead. Keep your gaze fixed on Christ. Walk in the light. Follow him, grab hold of his hand. It is his joy to walk with us. I was thinking about Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. He doesn't keep that hidden from us. It's his joy to show his children the way. And in your presence is fullness of joy. and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I was on Friday night, Al's at the men's retreat, and I found myself awake at like 2 a.m. I just woke up, and I'm laying there, and I've got my window open, and just listening to the normal songs this time of year of the bugs and the frogs, and it's comforting, and I'm just sitting there, and then I notice there's this bird singing like crazy, and once I heard it, I just kind of keyed in on that, and I'm just sitting and listening, and like, wait, what? It's like 2 a.m. This songbird's going bananas. It's got lots to sing about, and I even got out like my little app. I'm like, what is this bird? But it was singing so many different songs, the app wouldn't figure it out, and here's why. It was a mockingbird, and when I looked it up, this was on, yeah. I looked it up, even on, like, it was like easttennessee.gov or something. I don't remember. But it said that in the spring moonlit nights, mockingbirds enjoy singing. It just was like, even at night, even in those night seasons of the soul, we have reason to sing. In the light of his radiant face, I still have reason to sing, no matter how dark. Even at midnight, I will sing to you, Jesus. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's our gaze fixed in his word. His word has been given to us to light the way. Praise God for the word. Praise God, we live in a time where, like, we have the written word accessible to us. At all times, we can pull out an app. We can pull out our Bibles. What a gift. Am I spending time gazing in his word and gazing at Jesus, who is the word made flesh? We're going to start wrapping up. I want to look at Proverbs 4, and we're going to look at 11 through 19. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it and do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Brighter and brighter until full day. The Lord reminded me, and I checked with him, and he was great with me saying this. Our oldest son, Jonah, a few years ago when he was 9, he pulled Alex and I aside one morning with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Can I share with you a dream that I had last night?" We said, "Yeah, buddy." We sit down and he goes, "I was on this path and there was a fork in the road and there were these trains, two different trains that are just, they're going and I'm stopping and considering what am I supposed to get on? And I just felt this deep stirring in my heart that I'm supposed to get on this one. And I got on that train," and he goes, "and it was dark outside, and yet the night was brighter than our day. And as we're going on this path, all of a sudden I see Jesus on his throne come over the horizon. He's smiling at me, and it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter until I'm at his feet." And he's sobbing, telling us this. And I'm crying, because it's just like, buddy, that's it. when we walk with Jesus, who is the light of the world, even the deepest darkest, even darkness is as day to him, right? The hope that comes from knowing and walking with Jesus. And he smiles upon us. I keep coming back to, I keep saying it from Numbers, that priestly prayer. The light of his radiant face, may it give you peace. We long for peace. It's found in Christ alone. So may we walk as children of the day, as Thessalonians calls us. We are children of the day. Walking in the light of his radiant face, he who smiles upon us, let us confess our sins and allow him to shine his light on those places. Give him access to those places in our heart that he longs to give us freedom. And may we walk with him and shine his light as a beacon of hope for those living in darkness, and also encourage one another as fellow saints in the light, enjoying fellowship with one another until that day, which Revelation 21:23 says that the sun and moon will no longer be needed because the Lamb will be the light. May we walk faithful, arm in arm with him and one another, walking in the light as he is in the light until that day. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming into the world and rescuing us out of the kingdom of darkness and delivering us. It's your marvelous light, the kingdom of the Son. Lord, would you help us to fix our eyes upon you? No matter how dark it gets, Lord, may we be diligent to fix our gaze, set our faces like flint towards you, the Son. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Bless them. Keep them. May your face shine upon them and give them peace. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.